Music supports thousands of new musicians.
I was 15 when I won the competition, and it was the first performance I'd ever done.
From the 2005 Young Chorister of the Year, Laura Wright.
From that moment, suddenly all these doors opened up to me. I definitely wouldn't be in the same position I am now.
To the Young Musician of the Year and a previous winner, Nicola Benedetti.
There's no question about the help that BBC Young Musician of the Year gave me. I'm grateful for it every day.
BBC Music gives new musical talents the platform they deserve. Find out more about all of our schemes at bbc.co.uk/music.
This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 on FM. We're on DAB Digital Radio and we're live online in HD Sound. It's 11 o'clock, just gone, and time now for Jazz on 3, the best in contemporary jazz with Jez Nelson. Today is Young Artists Day here on Radio 3, shining a spotlight on British musicians under the age of 25. And to end the day, it's time for a special edition of Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson, who's joined in the studio by some of those young artists.
Good evening and welcome to Jazz on 3. I'm Richie Sivright and I'll be playing trombone in the concert we've got coming up on tonight's show. Stand by for tomorrow's Warriors Youth Orchestra.
Yes, thank you very much, Richie. We have indeed brand new music coming up from Tomorrow's Warriors, a group that's acted as a hothouse for many of this country's best jazz musicians over the last two decades. And I'll be joined by two jazz educators of different kinds, as well as a jazz student, to discuss the impact on the music, positive and negative, of the rise of jazz education. All of this to come on this special edition of Jazz on 3 as part of Young Artist Day here on BBC Radio 3, shining a light on talented British musicians under the age of 25. Firstly, though, we thought we'd run the rule over some new releases, and as well as Richie, who's 17 and a member of Tomorrow's Warriors, I'm joined on the line by BBC Young Jazz Musician of the Year, 18-year-old saxophonist Alexander Bone. Hi there, Alexander.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Welcome along. Say hello to Richie.
Hello, Richie.
Hi, Alex.
Well, we gave you both a handful of new albums and asked you to pick your favourites. Just before we get into them, always interested to know what young jazz musicians are listening to. Let's start with you, Richie. Do you listen to a lot of jazz yourself or other musics?
Yeah, fairly. I listen to quite a lot of jazz in the past. Recently, I've been listening to more like soul, neo-soul, but I think that's from me listening to jazz.
Right, and when you say jazz, you listen to new stuff that's coming out, or do you go back into the history of the music?
I tend to go back. I prefer like swing, big bands, you know, like Count Basie. I love that sort of stuff.
Right, great combination. So new soul and Count Basie, that's what we like to hear. What about you, Alexander? What do you listen to?
Yeah, some of my big influences in jazz are Cannonball Adderley, Herbie Hancock. I used to listen to Headhunters loads and loads when I was younger, Hank Mobley as well, but I also listen to electronic music a lot. Funk, Fatboy Slim were a big influence on me, even rock bands like Whitesnake, and I just listen to everything.
that is diverse. Richie, what's the biggest thing you're listening to at the moment, would you say?
At the moment, it has to be Kendrick Lamar.
Ah, I knew you were going to say that. It's probably the biggest record for everyone in the world, isn't it? One of the best-selling records for a long time. So we sent you some new jazz albums that have come into the office recently and asked you to pick a couple of favourites out of those. And Richie, you've gone, first of all, for the British saxophonist composer Julian Arguelles, together with the Frankfurt Radio Big Band, with a set of new arrangements of pieces written by the great South African group the Blue Notes. So why did you go for this?
Firstly, like throughout the whole album, I felt sort of like a Latin slash South African vibe, which I'm really into, and I really love playing that type of music. In our Twydra concert, we had a piece by Binka Golden, and I think it was influenced by South Africa, like South African music and stuff, and on that album, that's the sort of vibe I really liked about it.
We're going to hear that that piece later on. And why have you chosen this particular track, Mama Marimba?
In a carnival band that I'm in at the moment, we play that tune, and it's nice to hear it on another track. It sounds very different, but different in a good way.
Okay, here's the first choice of music. Julian Arguiles and the Frankfurt Radio Big Band, Mama Marimba from Let It Be Told. Thank you. celebrating the wonderful music of the Blue Notes, the South African group who were resident in the UK for many years. That was Julian Arguiles and the Frankfurt Radio Big Band, and Mama Marimba from a new album on Basho Records called Let It Be Told, as chosen by Richie Sivright, member of the Tomorrow's Warriors Youth Orchestra. We'll be hearing them in concert a little later on. Actually, I think that was also something that you liked as well. Alexander Bone is on the line from Manchester. He's the BBC Young Jazz Musician of the Year. You were keen on that as well, weren't you, Alexander?
Yes, I was, yeah. Just a lot of fun to listen to, really. Some really catchy melodies, some great band writing. A lot of fun.
Okay, we're going to move on to your first selection. This comes from a Norwegian tuba player called Daniel Herskedal. Why did you go for this, Alexander?
Well, this album grabbed me straight away, really. I mean, from my experience so far, seeing him playing in orchestras, wind bands, I've always known the tuba exclusively playing the role of the bass, really, whereas on this album, it's everything. It's, setting up the chords and then improvising, and it sounds like a voice at times, and you listen to it and you're thinking, really, is this a tuba? It's pretty incredible. It just really grabbed me.
Okay, so from Norway, this is Daniel Herskedal and the Mistral Noir. That's Norwegian tuba player Daniel Heskedal, in case you're wondering. He's just overdubbed there. So only him performing on that piece, the Mistral Noir from the album Slow Eastbound Train, out now on Edition Records. That was chosen by the BBC Young Jazz Musician of the Year, Alexander Bone, who's on the line from Manchester. And with me in the studio is the trombone player Richie Sivright from Tomorrow's Warriors. They're here because today is Radio 3's Young Artist Day, putting the spotlight on some of the UK's brightest talent under the age of 25. Throughout the day, we've been hearing the work of young classical composers, musicians, poets, and meeting some of the choreographers as well. If you want to find out more, go to the Radio 3 website, bbc.co.uk/radio3. And as I said, coming up very soon, some live music from the Tomorrow's Warriors Youth Orchestra. We've got time for one more piece of music, and actually it's an album that you both chose, something there's a real buzz around at the moment, Kamasi Washington. And Richie, you mentioned Kendrick Lamar earlier on, and I know that Kamasi's worked with him. This is a three-hour triple disc album called The Epic, and it lives up to that name, doesn't it? It's big.
Yeah, very.
Tell us about why you enjoyed this.
From like the first tune on the album, I was into it. I think that it's like really amazing how the strings and the choir like works all together. I wasn't too sure about the cover of Cherokee. It was quite interesting, but all round it was an amazing album.
Alexander, it's a very brave project, isn't it? It's a kind of an enormous work.
Totally, yeah. I mean, Kamasi, from what I've seen online, he's played with everyone of so many different styles, you know, Snoop Dogg, Quincy Jones, Chaka Khan. I think this album really kind of demonstrates that. It's got so much variety in it. You know, the strings, it reminded me actually of Bill Lawrence and Flint, the album, you know, Bill Lawrence from Snarky Puppy. There was elements of that, and there was elements of more kind of Coltrane classic jazz, especially in Kamasi's playing. There's moments where the choir comes in full pelt, and it actually reminds me of big film scores like Star Wars or something. You know, it's just incredible. Like, there's so much in it.
Well, not only is this a long album, but the tracks are also very long themselves. So we'll just have a bit of this. We'll join the opening track of the album part the way through as Kamasi warms up his horn. This is called Change of the Guard from The Epic. We'll be right back. Dramatic stuff from Kamasi Washington and a piece from his new album called The Epic, chosen by both of my guests tonight, BBC Young Jazz Musician of the Year, Alexander Bone, and trombone player Richie Sivright from Tomorrow's Warriors. You're planning on carrying on studying and playing jazz? Is jazz the music that you're wedded to now?
Yeah, jazz. maybe not just that straight swing. I want to explore other areas of jazz, maybe other areas of just world music.
And Alexander, I gather you're actually off to college next year. Is that to study jazz?
Yeah, it is. I'm really excited about it, moving down to London to study the Royal Academy of Music, to study jazz, but also, you know, I'm into a lot of other things. I'm producing electronic music, so Just being in London and immersing myself in the music scene there is just something I'm really looking forward to do.
Well, Alexander, thank you very much for joining us on Jazz on 3 tonight. Appreciate it. Good to speak to you.
Thanks very much for having me on. Thank you.
And Alexander's winning performance in last year's BBC Young Jazz Musician of the Year is still available on the BBC website. We'll put a link to that up on the Jazz on 3 page. And with Alexander off to the Royal Academy, I'm going to be discussing the pros and cons of jazz conservatoire courses with jazz musicians and educators Simon Purcell and Orphy Robinson, as well as another member of the Tomorrow's Warriors organisation and current jazz undergraduate, Nabaya Garcia, that coming up in just under half an hour's time. And Richie's going to be staying with me just a little longer as we introduce the first part of tonight's concert from the Tomorrow's Warriors Youth Orchestra. Now, Tomorrow's Warriors was founded by bass player Gary Crosby in 1991, and some of the musicians who've come through that scheme include Soweto Kinch, Nathaniel Facey, Jason Yard, Eska Mutungwazi, and more recently Moses Boyd and Peter Edwards. And I guess they would describe themselves as partly having a mission to increase the diversity of the UK jazz scene. They work with musicians from the age of 11 and upwards. And their flagship ensemble is the Tomorrow's Warriors Youth Orchestra, which features players from age 15 and above. Richie, you're a trombone player in the band. What originally made you go along and be part of Tomorrow's Warriors?
I think at the time I was in secondary school, and for me there wasn't much going on in terms of music and what I was enjoying doing, playing the trombone. I was with an orchestra at South Bank and I met Gary, and he asked me to come down to the sessions. And from the first time that I went into the room, met all the people, I just knew that Warriors was like a great place and was a place for me to learn.
Okay, so how would you say Tomorrow's Warriors has helped you develop as a musician?
It's helped me develop a lot. When I first went, I was scared to play in front of everyone. I couldn't solo, I couldn't do anything really. Within a year, like, they got me out of my shell. I was playing a lot. They gave me so many performance opportunities. So, yeah, I'm really grateful for that.
Tonight's concert features a series of new commissions called Bridge to Our Memories from some of the scheme's music leaders that reflect on the variety of cultural heritages that they bring to the music. We're going to hear two pieces in the first part, starting with a movement from a suite by saxophonist Binka Golding, which you mentioned earlier on, in fact, Richie, followed by pianist Peter Edwards' new composition for the band. So, Richie, finally, what was it like? What were the challenges like of playing this new music on the night?
I guess the fact that it was being recorded for the BBC was most people's worry.
Okay, well, Richie, hopefully we didn't put you off too much by having the BBC microphones there. Thank you very much for coming into the studio and sharing your love of jazz and some new music with us. A real pleasure. Keep it up.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And we always like to give you something to listen out for before we get into the live music on the show. This week, I'll leave it to a couple of members of the band to set it up for you.
Listen to the band as like one unit rather than, you know, the loudest instruments or the instruments in the foreground. Listen to us as one collective and just focus on like the group sound we're trying to make together.
I think you should just listen to every part of it and listen to every instrument, because all of the composers have written it so as every part is special for the listener and for everyone, and without every bit of it, it wouldn't be as good. So you just have to listen to all of it.
Tomorrow's Warriors Youth Orchestra, recorded for Jazz on 3 at the Purcell Room on the South Bank, starting with Binka Golding's first movement from Why Some Women Dance, and then Peter Edwards' Journey to El Dorado. If you'd like to know who features in the orchestra, we'll put all the details up on the Jazz on 3 website, and we have more from that concert coming up in 10 minutes or so. Well, Peter Edwards, of course, was someone we featured at last year's BBC Introducing Showcase at the Manchester Jazz Festival, and we'll be back there again at the end of July, presenting four new bands who are unsigned or maybe just under the radar. And we haven't yet decided who they'll be, so you could be part of it. No age limits, no need for super hi-fi recordings. Just send us your tracks, whether recorded in your bedroom or at a live gig, via the BBC Introducing Uploader. We'll put a link up on the Jazz on 3 website, and make sure you select Jazz on 3 when you submit your music. Be quick, though. There's only a couple of weeks left before we start selecting. You're listening to Jazz on 3 with me, Jazz Nelson, and it's Young Artist Day here on Radio 3. And on Jazz on 3, we're shining a light on talented jazz musicians under the age of 25. Well, something that's had a big effect on young jazz players, particularly over the last 15 years or so, is the number of new music college and conservatoire jazz courses that have been set up. Now, precise statistics on this are a little hard to come by, but while the first UK jazz degree was set up at Middlesex in 1993, now there are at least 13 institutions offering jazz-specific courses in the UK. In London alone, there are now over 200 graduates a year earning jazz-related degrees. Quite a figure. So, many more young jazz musicians have been given the opportunity to have a formal education. What effect has this had on the jazz scene and the music that we listen to in the UK? Well, with me are Simon Purcell, pianist and head of the jazz department at Trinity Laban in London. Hi there, Simon.
Hi, Jess.
Jazz warrior, vibraphone player, educator, Orphy Robinson, who's been heavily involved in community music projects for many years and is a board member of the Jazz Warriors International Education Programme. Hi, Orphy.
Hi there.
And Nubaya Garcia, a third-year alto saxophonist currently studying jazz at Trinity, also featured in Tomorrow's Warriors Youth Orchestra, and is in the band Naria, who we've played on this show a few weeks ago, and we'll hear a little bit more from later on, who reached us via BBC Introducing. So, Nubaya, let's start with you. Hello, first of all.
Hello.
Nice to
Hi.
See you. When you kind of made the decision, if it was indeed a decision to kind of pursue a life in jazz, was it obvious to you that you would go into education? Was that kind of the only route you considered?
Yeah, that is the only route I considered, just because I had seen like friends that I'd grown up with like doing that as well, and here I am.
And I think for many people, the thought of studying improvisation is in some senses a slightly sort of abstract concept. So, I mean, how do you do it in a sense? What do you learn?
We've got like a number of classes on, like we do have improvisation. We, you know, we listen all together and lessons to music, and we talk about it, but the reason I came to college was to learn how to play my instrument. Something that is great about college is that you play in every single lesson. We play in our history lessons, so, you know, there's a kind of lecture style, but we play the music that we've been talking about.
So, Orphy, there you go, sort of formal lessons, the history of the music, learning about improvisation, different to the way you came up in the music.
Oh, yes. Obviously, I came through the military music and all of that, but also came through sort of playing reggae and funk and being in various different bands. You tended to learn a lot of things orally. We basically had to go buy an album, play everything on it, and then transcribe it. Play with that needle, keep putting it back and forwards, all of that. So, you know, it was a different method.
So this was all, it was a kind of self-made education in a sense, picking bits up. There was no formal process going on.
No, I've never been formally taught vibraphone.
Do you look back on the way that you came into the music and think that's got distinct advantages over the musicians who are kind of perhaps coming through now that have gone at a very early age, like Nubaya, into a formal education?
I mean, an example I can look at is going to a jam session here and just listening and being able to sing the lines that the young people were going to play in their solos. And I found that a bit disconcerting because I fortunately came at a time where we didn't know where people were going to go with their solos. We had no idea. So there was that voyage of discovery. There's some great things that they learn, and I think technically amazing, you know, things happening. But I tend to find a lot of studying the same things.
So, Simon, do you think that the rise of jazz college courses has led to greater conformity in young musicians playing? And what would you say are the advantages of a more formal education?
I mean, I think Orphy makes some very good points. There is conformity because people tend to historically have chosen to teach in a fairly uniform way because the initial waves of jazz education were preoccupied with transmitting information. But I think for at least 20 years, a growing number of people have become more agile and ingenious at attempting to redress the balance and enable people to personalise their learning. So whenever something is offered, it's always offered in a sentence with a question mark at the end. One of the things that I struggle with is helping younger musicians believe that themselves, because a lot of young people come out of school in this country thinking that information is the only thing they need to be concerned with rather than a more holistic formation. But I think that jazz education gives all of us and gives many people access to resource buildings, if nothing else, buildings with pianos and drum kits and gear.
We'll continue this conversation in just a moment, but I mentioned Nubaya is a member of a band called Naria, who we featured on this programme a few weeks ago, sent their music to us via the BBC Introducing Uploader. Let's just have a quick listen to a clip from a piece of theirs. A bit unfair, but we'll see whether Nubaya has got her own individual voice. This is called, is it Pinkham V or Pinkham?
Pinkham V. Yeah.
That's Naria and a piece called Pinkham V, written by the guitar player Shirley Tete and featuring Nubaya Garcia, who is one of my guests on Jazz on 3 tonight on this Young Artist Day here on BBC Radio 3. We're discussing the pros and cons of jazz education. Also with me are Simon Purcell, head of the jazz department at Trinity, and Orphy Robinson, vibes player in his own right, of course, and also a long-time jazz organiser and jazz educator. I wanted to talk about the recent film Whiplash and the debate that's provoked about the competitive nature of jazz education. Have you guys seen Whiplash? Got to talk about Whiplash.
None of you have seen it.
Okay, you look like Simon's. You've avoided it.
Read bits, but then thought, well, that's not teaching.
Whiplash. No, I did find the beginning hard to watch, and then
I should just say, I mean, Whiplash is a film which is nominally about jazz education. Someone who's learning to be a drummer in an American jazz institution and is pushed extremely hard in his training, and I think it actually comes out of the kind of stories around sort of Buddy Rich and the way he was with his musicians on the road. A lot of people are sort of saying they don't recognise it at all as a model, but then there is something about jazz which is very competitive, and there is also something about education that is very competitive. So do you feel under pressure?
College isn't competitive to me. It's just a good environment. It's not like, oh, you sound awful today, you know? But for me, going out to a jam session, I just don't feel comfortable. And last night I was running a jam session, you know? I'm not against them. It's just sometimes that, you know, kind of like the more established ones, I'm not going to name any names, but I feel very uncomfortable and out of place at them because it doesn't feel like it's friendly.
Simon, sharp intake of breath from you when I said jazz is a competitive, can be a competitive art form. I mean, I think it certainly can be. I've been to a number of gigs where you think these guys are competing.
Yeah, well, here. I've experienced it being competitive. I think I feel like to just try and put my perspective on it. We're on the right track, and we've been quite appropriately and insightfully critical about it today. And I share a lot of those criticisms. But I actually think there's a lot of hope. I mean, Nubar's one of a number of very interesting, very well-equipped, very mature and sensible, insightful young musicians. And I think that's positive. And if we can create an environment that's healthy and stewards rather than teaches that kind of formation, then I think we're on the right track.
I must agree. And I think also because the competitive thing, I think for myself, was always a competition with myself to get to be better. So it was really about that, just to kind of improve and see how, you know, where I could go in the scheme of, you know, becoming a musician, rather than the competitive thing, which I find and I hear a lot with that, the whole jam session thing, whatever, that, I mean, from my own point of view, things like doing the kind of freedom sessions that I do, the freedom jam sessions and things where I ban tunes, you know, we're going to make the unreal book instead of the real book, because I found that friends or young people that were coming from classical or jazz or rock or whatever, they all wanted a kind of fear platform to come on and create some new music. It might fail, it's walking a tightrope, but it gave some kind of excitement and some kind of different pathway, I think, to actually get into grips with their instrument, get into grips with what they do.
So final word for you on this then, Nubar. I mean, you're the student in the room. Do you and your generation feel optimistic about the music and what you're learning and how you're working with other people and what you're bringing into jazz?
Yes, I do. And also, I definitely just want to say that, for me, I'm incredibly happy that I'm at college. I knew that I needed that structure. If you think you can be motivated enough to do all of this stuff by yourself, do that. Save yourself loads of money and do that. But I wanted to be around young musicians that wanted to learn as well. Like, all my teachers at college are extremely encouraging to, you know, learn the tradition as well as finding your own stuff to play, as well as like starting to like delve completely into what is jazz. Like, it's extremely difficult and overwhelming, but very rewarding. And yes.
Okay, well, thank you very much for all your contributions. We could definitely spend a lot more time talking about this. Nubar Garcia, Orphy Robinson and Simon Purcell, thank you very much. So time for the rest of tonight's concert then, from the Tomorrow's Warriors Youth Orchestra. A piece by the band's director, saxophonist Nathaniel Facey, coming up soon. But first, a piece written by trumpet player Yaz Ahmed called Dreaming Beneath the Tree of Life, inspired by a legend from Bahrain where she grew up. Here we are, the Tomorrow's Warriors Youth Orchestra.
that featured Nabaya Garcia on the tenor saxophone. The next song is my composition. It's called From the Land of Our Eternal Father to Distant Shores, and it's a tribute to my granddad, Alexander Facey, and my dad, Euro Facey, and all the Caribbeans, and in particular, Jamaicans in the room.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Tomorrow's Warriors Youth Orchestra, recorded for Jazz on 3, particularly with this programme in mind as part of this Radio 3 celebration of great young artists in Britain, recorded at the Purcell Room on the South Bank. And the two pieces you heard were firstly Dreaming Beneath the Tree of Life, written by the trumpet player Yaz Ahmed, and then Nathaniel Faces from the Land of the Eternal Father. The musical director of the orchestra was Nathaniel Facey, and I'll put full details of the orchestra's lineup up on the Jazz on 3 website. And certainly there'll be some names there that you need to look out for in the future. I'm sure they'll be making a big contribution to the future of British jazz. And to find out more about the work that Tomorrow's Warriors do, or indeed how you can get involved, go to the Jazz on 3 website where you'll find a link. And you can catch up with other performances by young musicians that are featured on today's Young Artist Day via the Radio 3 website, bbc.co.uk/radio3. That's it for this week. On next week's programme, we've more young British musicians, albeit slightly further along in their career. We have a session from Blue Eyed Hawk, inspired by the short stories of Franz Kafka. Thanks to all of my guests tonight and to all of the young musicians who perform for us. Thank you also to my producer, Chris Elcombe. Jazz on 3 is a Something Else production for BBC Radio 3. From me, Jez Nelson, good night.